gentlemen, you're getting a little bit of an odd intro to our show tonight because we were just halfway through the show and forgot to hit record. So, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Half-Ashed. This is the 199th time I've been speaking to my co-host, Mr. Kip Fisher. Kip, how the heck are you?
Just brilliant.
Well, I mean, you kind of are. You're the one who realized that we weren't recording the first 45 minutes.
It is time for the show to end right now.
Yes, yes. It is the 199th time this 5th day of October, 2019. Mr. Fisher, I know how you are. I'm doing well. And you know what? Even though we just wasted 45 minutes, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
Maybe not quite as happy as I was 10 minutes ago, but
well, hey, I think it stands to reason you're just about done with the cigar. I am I'm halfway through it or so. We might as well tell people what we smoked. Tonight, I think we're going to have a short episode, but we are starting with the Oedo Monterey Epicure number 2. It's a Cuban classic. Kip most graciously sent these to me in his allotment of new or youthful Cuban cigars that he shared in July when he stopped back in the States. This was one of them. And the Epicure number 2 is a Robusto version from the Oedo Monterey line. It's mighty tasty. It's kind of thought of to be a beginner Cuban cigar by some, but I don't know, man. I've always smoked these and wondered what the experts were smoking, because this beginner cigar was so dang good. I don't know if there's anything else that could beat it on a scale of beginner to expert, if you want to think about it in that regard at least. So really an enjoyable stick. A nice sweetness, a sugary sweetness, kind of envelops a woody core. And there's even a little bit of some spice in there too, just real minor spice. I like the wood in this cigar. It's not so much the Nicaraguan or Jalapan woody flavor that I have talked so much about disliking, but it's pretty tasty. So you got anything to add on flavor profiles here, Meng?
No, I think that's a pretty good synopsis of what we experienced.
Of maybe deja vu all over again, similar to our conversation an hour ago?
I mean, there's no way we can top it. We just had our greatest recording ever that was not recorded.
Ooh. So instead of this being 199 and a half, does this now instantly become recording 200 since we just had another half a show?
Sure. We get to make the rules, whatever.
Celebrate with us, folks. It's episode 200 right in the middle. We changed over right in the middle of recording. Well, I am enjoying this cigar very much. I had graciously accepted the two that you had sent me. Smoked the one in show prep back some time, over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, and proceeded to realize that there was no way I was only going to smoke one more of these. So I have a relationship with a vendor, was able to get a fiver of these sent to my house, I actually shared one of them with Mr. Mike Stewart, Stu Muse, on the forums. Blind, he did not know what this was, and he dug the crap out of it. So they have been exceptionally enjoyable through and through. So I am having the last of the two you sent and the fiver tonight, and enjoying it. It has been pretty consistent for me. Sweet, woody, a lovely core of approachable flavors. Not overly strong, though. Yours, you said, was or seems to be pretty strong?
It's not overly strong. My comparison was meant to be more relative to the other Epicure number 2s I've smoked in the past. This one seems a little stronger and certainly fresher than all that I've smoked it, with the exception of one. But this one it's not, you know, it's not a my father kind of thing. It's just going to kick you in the pants, possibly. It's just a little stronger. I'm feeling the effect of it more so than I think I have any of the others.
Yeah, it's interesting that happens. I mean, there's really no way to track whether it's your constitution or this cigar just had a leaf that was, you know, grown by Satan himself. Who knows how to quantify any of that, but just sometimes you have a cigar and you go, oh man, this one's getting to me.
Yeah, and I think our, like you said, our constitution varies wildly. It could just be a little off. Maybe I should have eaten more at dinner or something.
You know, I mean, it just so happens that every single one of the cigars I've smoked from Casa Fernandez, I had it when I was on an improper constitution, apparently.
Yeah, you're doing that on purpose.
Well, we had an interesting little diversion down, I guess, pipe smoking lane in the first recording of this, but or the first run through. I guess it wasn't a recording. But anything from the pipe world that we want to share tonight or share again, or we can save that for an upcoming pipe show. What are you thinking?
Sure, we'll save it. I mean, it's not, I mean, we just kind of organically roamed into that anyway. It just happened.
I mean, yeah.
You can't force greatness, Greg.
I also don't really get it accidentally most of the time, so... Well, yeah. I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's save them looking for more later on. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, not too much new and exciting in the world over here in Chicagoland. I trust the Dominican Republic is the same for you. Things kind of status quo.
Yeah, still the same. Man, I mentioned before we were not recording. I mentioned when we were. Knowingly not recording. The primaries are tomorrow, so got an email from the State Department to maybe hang around the house tomorrow and not venture out.
Oh, really?
We're on the American citizens living here can sign up to get emails from the consulate to just keep you up to date on anything peculiar going on. And voting is always a thing here.
Now, you guys are just living on a visa.
Well, we have temporary residency, which means we have to renew it every year. It remains. We had to get a visa to come here to apply for residency and work through that process.
That's right. I should have remembered that. And that temporary residency does not come with the ability to vote, I presume, correct?
No. Only citizens vote. There's one... thing I've learned here, it seems strange to me that the military here is not allowed to vote. I have a friend who's a colonel in the military, and he and his wife were actually guarantors for us for a period of time in some of the visa and residency paperwork, and I had to have a copy of his cedula, his national identification. And I noticed on the back it said, no vote. He's not allowed to vote. And I asked him, soldiers can't vote here.
Wow. I mean, I guess that's a safeguard on somebody being able to develop a coup or a military takeover, but...
Right.
I wonder if that's happened before.
Like it would breed maybe some
hostility?
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Well, it's a good thing I wasn't born in the Dominican Republic and decided to go into the military. Otherwise, I'd be awful pissed.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Just for that one reason.
Yep, that's it. Well... We've got just a little bit of news, and I can give some thoughts on this cigar as I smoke through it here, but what do you say it's time to talk about my favorite topic with the IPCPR, or the PCA, from 2019?
Yeah. I mean, the story's a month old now, but we can kick it around a little bit. Because mainly because you had some pretty strong feelings about it, and they were actually positive with the IPCPR/PCA/RTDA/whatever the heck it is. In that they were going to sponsor or put on a what they were calling CigarCon, which would be a public event that is tied to the trade show, where they were essentially going to open the show floor for a day to consumers who could buy a ticket ahead of time from their local brick and mortar retailer and come and spend the day on the floor talking to manufacturers and that kind of thing. And it was not well received by the industry. There was a very vocal portion of the membership that was like, you guys are crazy. Didn't ask us. You just put this out. This is taking away a day of our buying. I mean, just a long list of why they did not like the idea. And so the news story is that the idea has been scrubbed for the time being, at least for another year. They're not going to have CigarCon in 2020. They're punting. They're going to regroup, and I would assume maybe kind of work through these issues with the membership and put something together that's a little more agreeable to everyone and try again in 2021.
What was the, you may not have, this may not have made its way through the news cycle that you keep up with, but do you remember, three, 4 months ago, the head of the Department of Agriculture was meeting with some farmers in Iowa, and his icebreaker was to start his speech with a joke where he made fun of farmers.
No, that was not in my cycle.
All right. Well, I kind of want to steal that joke and somehow manipulate it to work for members of the cigar industry. Because of course this was denied. Of course we wouldn't want change. Of course we want to come up with some excuse why this forward-thinking progressive idea is going to destroy our industry. Of course. It's just, man, oh man, could you try any harder to screw this whole industry up? Seriously? Get your head out of your rear end and think about the fact that if you keep going the way that you're going, you're gonna die. So I just shake my head and go, of course this happened. I don't know. It's I will absolutely agree with the industry professionals in that this being dropped on them and not fully discussed, let's just call it Bush League. I will very plainly say that, man, oh man, that does not sound like the right way for it to have been handled. But just because it was handled improperly doesn't mean that it's not an idea that wouldn't be worth advancing.
Yeah, I think what really compounded the problem was it was terribly mishandled in the announcement, where they kind of leaked a little bit out. They kind of put out a little Facebook blurb that kind of tipped their hand a week ahead of time, and so people had a week to foment and get more irritable and upset about it, and then have the conference at the trade show with the floor open to questions and that kind of thing, and it didn't go really super well. It was not well received.
Well, one thing I know, tobacconists and industry members really enjoy change, so I think that when 2021 comes around, they are going to embrace this just like they would have in 2020. And no one will ever have a problem with it.
I think you're probably right.
So, you know, Kip, if I ruled the world, good gracious, everyone would be as happy as I want them to be. It'd be terrific, whether they like it or not. Amen. All right. Well, it is October, after all, now. And the Tatuaje Unlucky 13 is not happening this year.
right. It's the unlucky 26.
And sorry, go ahead.
Why is that?
Because it's not 13.
Because there's two monster releases.
Boom.
Boom. The Chuck and the Tiff. Of course, named after Chucky and his bride from the Child's Play movies. And so the list of 26 retailers has been announced who will be receiving the dress boxes. I did notice several repeat names on there, which I thought part of the plan was that this was a different set of retailers every year, but there are some duplicates. Duplicate meaning that shops that have been on the list before are back on there. I'm not going to sit here and read out the list. Any number of people bother to actually report news on the cigar industry have this posted all over the internet.
But, mm-hmm.
So it's out there and available. The numbers are pretty similar, with the exception there may be similar, except that there are two cigars coming out. I don't remember the dimensions on these cigars, but they are markedly different than the old ones. They're still bigger cigars, but they're shorter and a little thicker than in the past. I'm looking here. 5 7/8 by 52. The originals, Chuck and Tiff, that came out, and they came out as part of the Sanfor packs and that kind of thing last year. Maybe even been a year before at this point. It's been a while.
I think 2 years.
Were smaller cigars, but the typical standard production, standard size of this production run have been much bigger cigars, being, 52 by 6.5 or 52 by 7 or something. So these are a little bit smaller, but still bigger than the last time these two names were released.
The thing I haven't seen is the reason why this is 26 shops and not 13. Because just think about, I understand it's two cigars, I get it, but the second year that this cigar, or that the Halloween series was released, they did two cigars. So okay. I'm wondering why they chose to go to 26 when it had always been 13, even when it was multiple releases.
I don't know.
It was the Boris and the Drac in, I'm going to say 2009, maybe. So maybe 2010. So just an interesting thought. I was curious about that. Scratched my head. Why?
They'll be popping up. They'll be ridiculously sought after and, sold on eBay for double and triple the price, I'm sure, just like every other year for the dress boxes.
Yep,
but if you're not the kind of guy that chases down or the kind of lady that chases down these cigars, you can get the standard box, the non-dress box. They'll be plentiful and readily available.
Well, that's always a fun thing this time of year. We're not the news house that reveals every new stick that's coming out. That's never been something that we've wanted to do. But this is kind of a tradition in the industry. It's been around longer than this show has, so kind of something we always cover a little bit of.
Yeah.
But, well, the only other news story that I was aware of isn't really an industry-wide story, but a pretty loyal listener to Half-Ashed, AK Preacher, has a Discord page that he's just started. I thought that was kind of an interesting turn of events for, if nothing else, it's something that we will certainly share. There seems to be a ton of members here and a ton of traffic. Things just began 2 days ago, but discord.com/holysmokes. So I would imagine if you head up to halfash.com and go to the forum, you can find maybe a link. Maybe we can get something going there. So it's kind of a cool little group of guys.
Discordapp.com.
There we go. Discordapp.com.
More likely, the preferable way to access that would be through the app on your phone.
Yeah, the vast majority of people are going to Discord through the app on your phone. I think I'm one of two people maybe who ever go onto a PC on a web browser and go to Discord. But yeah, Holy Smokes is the name of the channel. I know that channels can be notoriously difficult to find if you don't have a link. So head on up to halfash.com, hit the forums up, and I'm sure you can find a link or some sort of discussion there about it. So yeah. Just a bit of news local to home, close to home.
And this may come into play a little more for us, not his channel specifically, but we talked a bit about it in the recording that didn't happen, that we've had a good bit of trouble trying to record these shows and somehow integrate a chat room back into them with the death of the Google Hangouts app thing that Google has provided for years that they mysteriously decided was no longer worthwhile and it's kind of done away with. So that's why we're recording tonight through Skype and publishing without a chat room. So stay tuned for that. We're looking into assembling and cobbling together something that'll work for us as well.
Yeah, you might see a half-ash Discord channel. You never know how that goes. So, well, Kip, I won't ask you how the cigar is, but how was the cigar? The strength influence on you, or just the overall influence and how you were perceiving it? Was that the whole way through, or was that really kicking off when you got about halfway through the cigar? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was about the halfway point when I really was kind of starting to notice it. It did not, knock me down. I didn't even have so much as the cold sweats or, certainly no nausea, not that kind of thing, but it was noticeably stronger than the others I've had. But again, maybe it's constitution. Maybe it's the fact that this particular cigar had a bit of a more dense spot toward the foot, and I was having to puff a little differently, maybe a little more frequently, a little harder than normal. I'm sure that could play into it as well. But once I got through that, it opened up. It was just fine. But, maybe I was feeling the effect from that episode after the fact. But it was good. I enjoyed the cigar. It was a little more coarse than the more vintage ones we've smoked, of any maker mark for that matter, from the island of Cuba. Had that woodsy core you talked about, and I definitely think the sugary sweetness that plays into that kind of presents a different profile. It didn't really weigh heavily in either of those directions. It was nicely put together, and the sweetness and the woodsiness kind of went. They kind of worked. Neither of them were dominant to me, but they played nicely. I really liked it. It was kind of a toss-up, but it kept me interested throughout the portion I smoked on. And there's maybe an inch and a half left of it. I may relight that in a little bit.
One thing I will say is I brought up the question as to when you started noticing differences, because I am at, let me measure, 2.5 inches left. So that is halfway point of this cigar. And it maybe the last quarter inch I started noticing. So I am curious if these are starting to evolve a little bit. And that evolution is something we are both experiencing, because this is not a completely normal thing for me with this cigar. I mean, I don't know how old the other ones were that I had purchased either, but none of them did this, and the first cigar that I smoked from you did not do this either. So I would not be surprised if these are starting to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, they're pretty fresh, like I said, and I think that kind of plays into me saying it was a little more coarse, a little more rough around the edges, which is actually something I kind of enjoy. I like that. I don't like a cigar that has faded into, you know, milk toast, to where it's lost its strength, where it's lost its character, and it's just kind of there. I kind of like that little bit of gruffness in a cigar at times. It was probably why for so many years I drifted strongly into Nicaraguan cigars, because I find that in a lot of them. And this was nothing like, as I mentioned earlier, it's not like a, you know, a standard issue My Father cigar that's going to smack you around a little bit. But it did have an edge in comparison to other Cuban cigars, especially the vintage ones we smoked.
Well, I would say hearing that, I'm not surprised you enjoy Casa Fernandez, because I think that that cigar would be the embodiment of that edge, or those cigars, excuse me.
Well, yeah, that may be true.
Maybe.
You know, there is an exception to that. The Arsenio from Casa Fernandez. Man alive, for many years, that was an inexpensive cigar. It was, you know, $5 top end singles pricing. And now they're a little more than that. Last time I saw them, they were up around $7, maybe a little more. But I thought it was a phenomenal cigar in both the natural and the Maduro wrapper. I think I tended to prefer the Maduro in that line, but that cigar never hit me the way that some Casa Fernandez do, and presumably all Casa Fernandez do to you. You know, I've had the same experience you described with some of them. I think there's a different threshold there somewhere where I don't have that negative experience, but I completely understand what you're saying, because I know their blending style. I know the tobacco they use, and it does sometimes get a little bit little potent, a little raspy, you know, causes a physical reaction on the back of your throat because it may be a little strong. But the Arsenio, I never had that experience. It was always a notch more approachable than most of their offerings, and I really, really appreciated that line of cigars.
Well, I will let you have all of those, and I will stick to my cigars that you consider milk toast.
I never said your cigar.
No, you did. I heard it. And I am going to move on to what else we've been smoking. Hey, you haven't recorded the call, so you can't go back and tell me I'm wrong.
Hey, don't hear what I'm not saying.
That's exactly wrong. All right, man. You got one thing on here, and it's not even a cigar. So what do you say you talk to me a little bit about what you've been smoking this week?
Okay. I will talk again, this time for posterity, about the fine tobacco I've been smoking this week. It is GLP's, Greg P's Samara, which I've smoked before. I have spoken very glowingly about Greg P's and his tobacco blends. I adore them in general. Many of them have and continue to be in my top 5 or 10 list of all time tobaccos I've ever smoked. And I have most assuredly smoked at least 200 different blends of pipe tobacco in the past 25 years. And some of his are the best of the best. This one is not, and I don't mean that really as a dig on it. It's a solid blend. It's a good blend. It is very middle of the road, though, for me. It doesn't jump out with something that describes me and says, this is something unique, and, you know, this is something, you know, I want to reach for as much as possible. But having said that, it's something that I can reach for anytime and be happy with it. I'll be content to enjoy it. But it's not a game changer. It's not a world changer for me. But I don't regret opening it, don't regret smoking it, and plan on finishing it out in the next week or two. this particular blend, I mentioned the first time, was from June of 2011, so a little over 8 years on it. Still very good. Still surprisingly similar to when it was fresh, which is peculiar. His blends, Abingdon, for example, is one of my very favorite blends. It has a very heavy presence of Latakia. But when you hold a tin of that unopened for 3, 4, or 5 years and open it up, that has jumped way in the background, and the sweet, light Virginias really are in the forefront, which is insane when you compare that to that same tin when it was fresh. Very, very different. This one's not. This one's very similar to what I remember it being before. 8 years ago when they were fresh, very much like they are today. This one did not change a great deal in this time, which is really peculiar. But, what does that mean? Does that mean this tin's not going to evolve a great deal? Or does it mean that this tin has the staying power that I could have waited another 15 years and then it would be something different? I don't know. I can't answer that. This is probably the oldest one I think I've ever opened of this blend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was one of the questions, essentially, I was going to ask. If you're going to put a stamp on when you would open that tin next time, you're going to open it at 12 years instead of 8? Are you going to try to push that, or is it satisfying enough now, like a Cabo Guan Maduro? No, Cabaduros have a lot of history on this show, but what I mean is that it's satisfying in
it's not flashy.
It's not flashy. In just a workhorse sort of way. How many more analogies can I screw up there? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm happy with this blend fresh. I'm happy with it at 8 years. But if my goal is to experience something very different, I'm not going to buy 10 of this and wait 8 years for it. There are other things that will change in other ways that maybe I appreciate more. But if I just want something to enjoy, I know that I'm going to enjoy it. This fits the bill. I mean, it's good. It's solid. It's enjoyable. It's the blend jives well. The blend burns well. The blend is put together well. But you can just buy and smoke it now.
Nothing wrong with that. I don't age Cab Maduros for 12 years in the hope that they change. I smoke Cab Maduros now because they're satisfying.
Yeah, and they change every 5 minutes.
Every unbanded.
I mean, so much so that they're unrecognizable by two guys who smoke many, many, many of them.
Well, I got a couple things that I've had since our last recording, a couple fun ones. First and foremost, AJ Fernandez partnered a little bit with H. Upman and put out a cigar that absolutely was news to me. Did not know about it, smoked it blind at a get-together with Mike Stewart. Here is the band. It's a rather large band, a couple large bands. Kind of aqua, Art Deco color-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had a little supplemental that's just got AJ Fernandez and H. Upman on it. So it's a pretty interesting cigar. I am pretty sure that it telegraphed what it was. Let you know that there was some Nicaraguan and other tobaccos in there. But it was tasty. Was not overpowering. And certainly had a heavier, stronger core than my typical cigar. But did not ever get to the point where it crossed the line at all. So I would say that was a pretty fun one to try out. Another is one that I had earlier today, before we recorded, actually. The Tatuaje Petite Tatuaje Reserva. I believe that's the name of it. It's this little unbanded 4.5 by 32 in the broadleaf wrapper. The essentially just the one of the Reserva releases from Tatuaje, and this was the original release of this cigar back from 2010. I loved these things. They only came in tiny little cabs of 50, and they were cheap. Like, you could buy that 50 cab for $110 or something like that, and those cigars smoked for 45 minutes. They were slow burner, tasted great, and so I have, I don't know, half a dozen or so left of these from one of my cabs, and gave one to that box pass that I was explaining earlier, and decided I would give one to myself. And I loved every second of it. Great little stick. Head melded. I don't think anybody in their right mind would call it milk toast, but this was also not something that had an edge. It was a river rock now. You know, the current had kind of washed away, a lot of the variation, and it became a smooth transitioning cigar, which I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if it's better or worse than it was 9 years ago, but it was good looking at it in a vacuum today. So, and then the last cigar that I smoked, I am trying to find how I described this because it was colorful, let's say. This was, I don't know, Tuesday of this week, something like that. I sent you a picture of a Fable cigar Toro, maybe Robusto. Fable cigars rolled, I believe, or manufactured, I believe, by Skip Martin at RomaCraft, if I recall correctly. I sent you a note that said, with a picture, "Good gracious, what in the world am I smoking? It tastes like somebody rolled up a piece of charcoal with a strap of leather." And I was gobsmacked to find out that this was a RomaCraft blended or RomaCraft manufactured cigar. Did not line up with what I expect from them one bit. I smoked the cigar down quite a bit and got to about the halfway point, and it improved drastically with a terrific chocolatey flavor that joined the other core flavors. But it was a weird one in the beginning. I have to say, I did not love that first third, but stuck with it and liked where the cigar took me. So that's three interesting ones that I've had that I wanted to share. So, yeah. But other than that, that about does me for the show here.
Well, cool. Well, I added one to the list while you were talking because you reminded me of it. And it's been a couple of weeks ago, but I had a cigar that I believe DC had sent me while we were in the States, and I brought back and I lit it up. It may have been a couple of weeks ago now. It is an AJ Fernandez cigar. It's one of the Diesel line, and it's called Rage, the Diesel Rage. And holy cow, it kicked a snot out of me. I got maybe halfway through it. I had to put it down. I came back the next day and finished it. It was very potent. And again, my constitution's called into question because I'm not smoking a lot of cigars these days. They tend to have an impact on me. Maybe a little more like the one tonight. But yeah, it was good. It was, again, it emboldened me in my theory that I can identify the overwhelming majority of AJ Fernandez cigars because he has, you know, he has a river. His blending stays in the banks of that river. He doesn't go too far from that because he's good at it and he's successful at it. And so it was very typical AJ production in its flavor and its construction and how it's put together, even. And of course, that's pretty standard and across the industry. But his blending style is very prominent and very noticeable to me. And this stayed well within that milieu And it was just very strong for my taste. While I enjoyed the flavor, it's one of those cigars that I liked the flavor, but the flavor didn't justify the strength to me. It would be a cigar I would have trouble buying to smoke with any regularity, knowing that, yeah, I'm going to have to put it down halfway through because I'm getting head spins. But as far as the enjoyment of the flavor, I was there with it. I just couldn't take the strength for its duration, for its entirety.
Well, you could always invite your husband to smoke the rest of it. I know. That's in bad taste, but sometimes those are the best jokes.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's a pain in the butt to record a show like this because I don't know what we covered in the first half that didn't get recorded and what we covered in this one, but I think we've got some changes for Half-Ashed coming up here, and we want to make sure that you're aware of them. We'd love to get people back participating in the live recordings. And so probably the best thing that we can tell you as we close down this short half a show is to be aware of the upcoming news. Go to halfash.com. Stick around with communicating with us. We all have our active email addresses that you can send notes to. We are more than happy to answer any questions you might have about where you can find us and when. So we really do want to get back to this being a regular thing where we can communicate in real time, because that makes the show more fun for us and obviously more fun for you compared to not even being able to do it. So anything else before we close on out, head on out of here?
No, I think we're in good shape.
Well, I certainly enjoyed this Oye de Monterey. I do tend to think that it might have been transitioning a little bit, had just gotten a little bit older, to the point where the cigar's constitution itself might have been changing. So I won't blame you for that, because I experienced it as well, and I have been smoking. So you get a pass, young man. Well, let's close her down and wish everybody well.
All right. Well, folks, we certainly appreciate you tuning in. Of course, you're not here in the chat room tonight because there is not one. For episode 199, if you want to come back around for episode 200, we'll be doing something. I'm not sure what we're going to smoke or talk about or celebrate or what we're doing with 200 episodes. But I guess we're going to have to try and figure out this chat thing before we do that. But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in. If you want to get in touch with us in the meantime, you can get us by email, craig@halfashed.com or kip@halfashed.com. Or, of course, come join us in the forum. We'd love to have you over there. We've got a small community of guys that like to hang out, chat, and make fun of others, essentially just me and Craig. But we can take it.
Yeah, it's awful good fun. And speaking of that community of brothers, we have a very specific, very appropriate dedication tonight. One of those brothers suffered a pretty rough motorcycle accident over a month ago, and I think that would be the absolute perfect dedication to Smokin' Steve. We really do hope that he can continue his progress and his rehabilitation. It's not just going to be healing. It's going to be rehabilitation and moving on with his life, a new life that he, I know, is thankful to still have. And we are also thankful that he has it. So, Steve, my man, the show goes out to you. There's no doubt about it. And to everyone else, as Kip has said, is listening in your car or in your house or wherever you may be, we also want to let you know, as always, good night and thanks for listening.